Messies are people who hate to see anybody come unexpectedly to the front door. And sometimes they don't answer the front door because the house is just in too embarrassing a state.
Disarray.
And the second way you can tell if you're a messie is if you can't find some important things, if you hate for income tax time to come, or whatever it's necessary for you to find something. If you feel bad about how your house looks, and if you feel bad about how it works.
Oh, I hate to admit it, but I can totally relate to not being able to find something because of a mess. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to wind back the clock and enjoy a classic program with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and the founder of Messies Anonymous, Sandra Felton. Sandra is a gifted speaker and accomplished author who spends her time helping people who struggle to keep things in order. As you'll hear on today's program, there are many people who struggle with organization, and sometimes that can lead to the deterioration of a marriage and many other problems. Sandra has dedicated her life to creating unique ways to help people cope with messiness. And I know that all of our listeners are going to really appreciate what she has to say. So here now is my dad, Dr. James Dobson, as he asks Sandra Felton to define what a messie is on today's classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Tell me what a messie is. That's a good place to start.
Well, messies are people who hate to see anybody come unexpectedly to the front door. And sometimes they don't answer the front door because the house is just in too embarrassing a state.
Disarray.
And the second way you can tell if you're a messie is if you can't find some important things, if you hate for income tax time to come, or whatever it's necessary for you to find something. If you feel bad about how your house looks, and if you feel bad about how it works, those are the two things that are the problems.
You must know something personal about being a messie. You couldn't have written about one if you weren't one.
That's right. It takes one to know one. I was a messie for 23 years, the whole first 23 years that I was married. And this came as a big surprise to me because my mother was a cleanie. Now, a cleanie is on the other end of the continuum from a messie. Now, let me spell messie because sometimes people think we're saying something else. It's M-E-S-S-I-E. That is a technical word now that means people who have trouble with keeping their houses under control. And so I didn't realize that I was going to have this problem because when I was in her house, and she had it organized, and I functioned within her organization, I thought there was no big deal to it because I didn't see her struggling. But boy, was I surprised. When it came to my house, things really immediately took a nosedive.
Tell me a little bit more about what a messie is. I saw one illustration in your book there of it being a person who allows half the toilet paper to be used before they get it on the roller, that kind of thing.
Right. Messies have a lot of peculiar problems. There seems to be a sort of inertia that sets in when things get so totally out of control. We sort of blow our housekeeping fuse, and then everything slows down and some things come to a stop because the problem becomes so overwhelming that you just
can't
quit.
Face it. And then they run from it.
Well, basically, that's what we do because that's the smart thing to do when you have a problem that you can't overcome. A lot of messies have gone to work outside the home because nobody but a dodo keeps playing a game. They keep losing. So they say, well, I keep losing this housekeeping game. I'm going to go find a game I can win.
Do they really see it as losing, Sandra? Is it something that painful? What's a messy feel day after day?
Frustration. I would say if there's one word to describe how messies feel, it's frustrated. And if there's one word to describe how getting control of the house feels, it's relief. What a relief. People who are messies live under a strain that those who are cleanies or average house cleaners cannot imagine. It's only because we're such wonderful people we're able to bear up under this thing.
What's the basic problem? If a messie doesn't like being a messie, why didn't a messie become a cleanie?
We're born with certain characteristics which become problems. And these characteristics keep us from keeping our houses in the same way that people to whom housekeeping comes naturally do. For instance, one of the chief characteristics of messies is that we are not visually in tune. I don't mean that we can't see. I mean that we don't notice the house until somebody rings the front doorbell. Then it all comes into focus. Yeah. But before then, we don't notice the hamper with clothes that need to be folded sitting over to the corner of the living room. And we don't notice the shoes that are on the floor. We simply walk through the house without paying any attention. And that's one of the chief characteristics that distinguishes messies from cleanies. Cleanies, on the other hand, if you see a little fluff on the rug, a little piece of fluff.
Lift. Yeah, you had to remove it.
I had a cleaning friend tell me that she wished she could ignore it, but she had to get up no matter how tired she was and pick it up because they're so visually in tune they can't stand it. And that's one of the chief characteristics.
What happens when messies marry cleanies?
Well, that's not a bad deal for the messy. It's kind of bad for the cleaner.
I bet it is.
Now, I'll tell you why. If a messy marries a cleanie, there are emotional problems because cleanies cannot live in clutter and be happy. They feel a compulsion to live in order and in beauty. And so there they are married to this woman who apparently doesn't share their interests. And he, let's say it's the wife who is the messy and the husband who is the cleanie, he's always bugging her. Now, this is hard on her, but it does keep things somewhat under control, and that's a blessing. Now, I've had women in my seminars who've told me that they have been married both to cleanies and to messies, and they say of the two, though it's hard emotionally, living with a cleanie is much better. Living with a messy compounds the problem.
You got two messies together, you got a pig pen.
It's tough. You know that frustration I was telling you about?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is double frustration. It's really tough.
Would you say that women are more likely to be messies and men cleanies? How does it break down along sexual lines?
I don't know. And I'll tell you why. It's worse for a woman because women are the organizers of the world. Women in offices do the organization, and women in the home are called upon to do the organization. So if you have a messy husband and you're a cleanie, well, then you have a struggle. But if you are a messy and your husband's a cleanie, and it's your responsibility to keep the house clean, then that's tough.
Have you seen marriages actually disintegrate over this matter of messy and cleanie?
I sure have. Women write to me. I receive quite a few letters every day. And women write to me, and sometimes they say, my husband is going to divorce me. He says he cannot live this way anymore. I had a woman in a seminar not long ago who said that she felt a big contributor to her breakup in her marriage was that every time her husband said, let's go to a movie, she'd say, I can't. I have to stay home and clean. So she really felt the obligation to keep the house under control, but it was never done. So she could never do anything with him. He went alone, and finally he just went off alone.
Tell me how you found out that you were not the only messy in the world.
Well, I don't know why we messies think that we're the only ones. A lot of people write to me and said, how marvelous to find somebody else like me. I thought I was the only one. And I suppose the reason why we think it is because other messies keep their doors closed to us, and we keep our doors closed to other people. Not all the time. We straighten up for a few days for parties and stuff like that. But the way I found out I was not the only messy was, I thought, well, there may be somebody else who's having my trouble. And when I found relief for myself, a program that really worked, and I knew it would work for others, I put a little ad in the newspaper, and I didn't think anybody else would come because I thought I was the only one. So I said to my friends, will you come? You know, I know you don't need this, but just come sit with me because I don't want to be sitting here all alone in the dark. And so I opened the doors to have people come, and 12 people came, 11 women and one man. Now, this was a larger percentage of men than I usually have. Anyway, these people came, and we had the most marvelous time. And it was in that fertile ground, as we worked together and we worked to solve our problems, that Messies Anonymous really began to flower.
Well, what I was fishing for was the amount of mail you once received.
Oh, once the newspapers found out about this silly-sounding organization called Messies Anonymous, they saw this little ad, and they sent out a reporter. And so I talked to the reporter, and I said, if anybody would like an introductory newsletter, they can write to me. Well, I just meant for the people in my town who wanted to have a newsletter, but it got picked up by a very large news service and went all over the country. And I got letters from everywhere. I got 10,000 letters from people saying,
"Boy, that's a lot of messies out there."
They would say, "I thought I was the only one." They would write at the top, "Help," with big exclamation points after it, and at the bottom, "Hurry." And some of them
I've seen that letter.
And some of them drew pictures of themselves drowning. Frequently people would mention drowning. It was interesting that it should come up so often.
You know, I don't know how husbands and wives work together when one is a messy and the other's a cleanie, but I can tell you this much. It does not work for college roommates to lean in opposite directions. Because my freshman year of college, I was a cleanie and I roomed with my cousin who was a messy. And the man nearly drove me nuts. I mean, nearly drove me crazy. This room was shattered. And I remember I used to get a broom in there and make me so mad, and I would sweep it all over to a line. On his half, he had trays of food that had sat there so long the gravy had turned to rubber. And I can imagine what it must be like to live with somebody who is extremely different from you in a husband-wife relationship, and the agitation and the accusations and the guilt and the self-condemnation, especially of a mother who feels this is her calling and this is what she wants to do, and yet she fights it every day.
Right.
Why does she fight it? Why not get in and do it? Why does she bog down so much with these routine activities?
Well, because we are not equipped for it. It's like telling a colorblind person to do interior decorating. I mean, you know, we have our limitations. I've already told you that we don't notice it. There are other problems.
Well,
you can't
help but notice it when a husband comes home every night and says, "Well, what have you been doing all day?"
Let me tell you a story. This is a story I've heard in verbatim, practically the same story, on more than one occasion. I got a very poignant letter from a lady who said that she worked all day. And this is true of those of us who are messies. We are not lazy. We work so hard, but our work just does not bear fruit. It's those cleanies. Now, I have nothing against cleanies. They're wonderful people. But because they keep everything under control, they're finished by early morning, you see. They're finished by 10 o'clock. They're sitting there drinking their coffee and enjoying the beauty of the house. And we're over there struggling like crazy until 5 o'clock in the afternoon when we have to quit.
That really is true. A messy often works longer at the same task.
That's absolutely true. Well, this lady wrote to me, and she said, "My husband comes home in the afternoon, and I have been working all day, and I've got this pile here and that pile there, and it just ends up the piles are rearranged." And he will say to me, "What have you been doing all day?" And she said, with her, you could practically hear the bitterness, and she said, "It's gotten to the point where I tell him nothing. I've just sat around all day." Soon she'll be sitting around all day because she's not getting any, or go out and find something else to do because she's not getting any reward for all her work. The turning point for me, I think, well, see, for 23 years, that gets old. And so I think the turning point was when the floorboards under my sink. Well, now, this is going to sound worse than it actually was. You've got to understand that messies love newspapers. We can hardly bear to throw out newspapers because they're so valuable. In the first place, they have all these ideas in them. And messies are very idea-oriented people. We have a hard time throwing away magazines, newspapers, and certainly never books. But
you might get around to reading them someday.
That's right. Messies are perfectionists, and they want to read the thing perfectly through. And I would say that perfectionism is one of the chief problems that hinders us from making progress. Well, anyway, we love to say these newspapers because you never can tell when you might get a puppy or when you might want to clean under the oven and you have to put the things there or whatever use. Anyway, so I saved all these newspapers and I felt so proud because I stored them all under the kitchen sink. Well, unbeknownst to me, there was a leak there. And because there were all these newspapers, it caught all the leak. And it wasn't until the thing had gotten so far that we finally had to remodel the kitchen. And I said, "Look, this is it. It is too painful to live like this. It's painful to change, but it's more painful to stay this way. I have got to find help." So I interviewed people. I interviewed cleanies. Cleanies do not understand the problem at all. I can tell from looking at your face, Dr. Dyson.
That I'm a cleanie.
Although you're empathizing here, I can tell that you are not a messy at heart.
No, I'm not. I'm a cleanie. I have to admit
tell.
That.
I can always tell by looking
care.
At people's faces.
I don't care if Shirley has dust on the night table at home. That doesn't bother me. But if there's debris on the floor, that bothers me.
Well, yeah. It's under control. I can tell this is not a problem that you're struggling with on a daily basis. Well,
you have some things to say about cleanies, though. We cleanies are not all perfect. We got some problems, too, right?
Well, that's true, but cleanies do not understand. I would interview people, and I'd say, what is your secret? And they would say, well, you know, there's no problem. You
get up and do it.
You just do it. That's what they would, exactly yeah. what they would say. And I even had one lady. She knew I was holding these seminars, and she said, well, I don't know why you're holding these classes, because nobody will come. And I'd already, by this time, had seminars where people would just really want to come, and we were having these great times together. And I said, well, why won't they come? And she said, well, obviously, if people are keeping their houses in a mess, it's because they want to. And if they want to, then why would they come to this seminar? And they have no understanding that we are struggling. We're drowning, you know, and we're looking for help. And there they are, placidly swimming along and not knowing that we're in all this trouble. Well, anyway, I interviewed cleanies. I wrote to the Agricultural Extension Service in our area with, you know, the homemaking division. To make a long story short, because I was so desperate and so determined to succeed, I read what few books I could find on the subject, and I finally found a method that worked for me. And when I found this method, and it worked after all these years, I was so thrilled and had such a sense of release that I was anxious to share it with others. And so that's
well,
how it started.
Well, we must know what the method is.
All right, I'll tell you. There are only two things you have to do. One is you have to get the house under control. And the second is you have to keep it under control.
Yeah.
Now, that's easy to say, but it's not as easy to do. So I'm going to tell you how to get it under control. To get it under control, you use what I call the Mount Vernon method. Now, I learned this from a lady, one of these cleanies that I was interviewing, one of the few who gave me something concrete to do. And she said she learned it from Mount Vernon in Washington, outside Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, George Washington's home. She said they start at one spot in the house, and they move around until time comes to stop for the day. They stop there. The next day, they come and get their cleaning things. They start at that, and they just keep going around on a regular basis doing that. So that's great, because you see, I told you that messies were perfectionists. Hmm. And so we always trying to figure out exactly the right thing to do. And since we can never figure out, of all the choices to make, which one is the absolute best, we're hung up. So this was great, because I started at my front door, and I went around the inside periphery of the house doing the Mount Vernon method, not cleaning, but organizing. I felt like Superwoman after the first day. I thought, man, I've got this thing under control. I thought it was going to be easier than it turned out to be. It took me 2.5 months. And when I got back around to the front door, I had gotten the house under control. Then I had to keep it under control. But that was the
hard
part.
Then
you
have to start back around again, because by that time, my family can wreck a house in 15 minutes.
And well, you see, that's because you live in a house that doesn't require as much internal organization. See, messies can get the house in order. It may take us 3 days to get it in order for a party.
You've got a lot of clutter in a messy house.
There's a whole lot to be done in a messy house. Messies love to save things. We're sentimental. That's a good thing, you know. We don't want to throw away little Johnny's shoes, his first pair of shoes, and his second pair of shoes, and his third pair of shoes. We want to keep everything. And so I had to break that. It was like a fever when I realized I could let go of this stuff. It was like a fever breaking. I felt like I had been ill for a long time.
Did you throw it away, Sandra?
Well, don't say throw away. Because messies are also frugal. We have many good qualities. You throw away things that nobody else will take. Other than that, you share. You give it away. Let me tell any messies out there who are listening that it's their responsibility to get this stuff back into circulation again. So take it down to the Salvation Army. I got to know the man in the Salvation Army real well because I visited him so much during that Mount Vernon Method time.
Boy, so many people are going to find themselves in this conversation. We were talking before we went on the air about the particular characteristics of the messy, and I saw in one of your writings, Sandra, I believe it was when you were interviewed for People magazine, they said that in that rush of 10,000 letters that you got that time from messies, some of the letters had coffee ring stains on them.
Yes,
and
did.
Some were written on brown paper bags because they couldn't find their stationery.
That's exactly right. And one lady typed it because she couldn't find a pencil, and the typewriter was bigger, I guess, and she could find it. Listen, I want to tell you, that's not funny because I found it as a messie. Writing a letter was incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Because you had to find the stationery, then you had to find the envelope. You had to have the address. You had to have the stamp. You had to find a pen or a pencil that worked. Now, we keep a lot of pens that don't work because a pen that doesn't work is better than no pen at all.
You might get a refill for it someday, so you can't throw it away.
Or if sometimes if you light a match underneath it, you can get it going again or, all kinds of things.
All right, we got to talk quickly about the flipper now. You've got a solution you call a flipper.
That's right. The flipper is a big part of keeping the house under control. And because we are perfectionists, each day if we wake up without any plan and we try and decide what to do that day, we break our decision maker because it's just too many decisions to make. So we decide ahead of time what jobs we're going to do on what days over a 3-week period is the way my flipper is set up. And we write it down ahead of time, and then we have already made our decision. So every day when we get up, we can just look at the flipper. The decisions are made. That frees us from all the energy that we'd waste making the decision. You can put that energy to work doing the job, and the house is not always perfect, but it's always maintained, and that's the secret.
So it's possible, Sandra, for a messy to keep a clean house.
Absolutely. It's a marvelous thing.
And to not fall back the way an overweight person constantly goes back to bad eating habits.
Oh, you might fall back, but that doesn't mean that you can't get up and take off again. And every success, I think, takes you closer to your goal. I think you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to say, just because I blow it once, I can't. Yeah. I'm incorrigible, messy. You can fall back and get up and then learn from that experience and keep moving ahead.
In the seminars that you hold for messies, you do find that they are able to overcome the inertia that keeps them paralyzed.
Yes, it's a marvelous thing. Absolutely marvelous. I get letters from people all the time who've read the Messies Manual and say, what a relief from guilt. I thought it was something wrong between me and the Lord. And now I found it was just a natural characteristic.
You know, there's a lot of humor in this subject, Sandra, but there's a lot of pain in it too, isn't there? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're dead serious about the fact that people who have this temperament that keeps them out of step with what they see as their responsibility struggle a lot. Low self-esteem grows out of that.
Absolutely. It's a really bad thing. I'll tell you why it's bad. First of all, you live in the house. And it's demoralizing to live in the house with it being in that condition. I say in my book that we're princesses. And that's my way of saying we're all made in God's image. And God's a God of order and beauty. And when we're not living in order and beauty, we're not living to our maximum potential the way God intended us to live. And we're uncomfortable. And only because messies have so much... internal fortitude, are they able to keep going? And some don't. Some get real depressed, and overcome it and keep trying to struggle on. It's a very serious subject. And then when you have such high ideals, because messies frequently are ideal people, they are interested in important things. They're interested in their children. And when the children can't go to school with both socks matching or... or when morning is so confusing that they go off in a dither, or when they can't bring their friends home to spend the night, or when they bring their friends home and they make some unkind comment about the condition of the house, when the husband doesn't really look forward to coming home, those ideals are interfered with by the practicality of this just daily living in the house. And it's very difficult. My book is funny, but the subject's not funny.
Sandra, you have an organization called Messies Anonymous that we were talking about before, and I appreciate that. The name of your book is The Messies Manual, The Procrastinator's Guide to Good Housekeeping. It's a very funny book, an interesting book, and one that I think will be very helpful to an awful lot of people who are struggling with the things we've been talking about today. You've presented it well, Sandra, both in your writings and here. You've come all the way from Miami. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Oh, my dad and Sandra are absolutely right. While this is a humorous topic, it is also a serious one, and I hope you've enjoyed and have been challenged by today's program. You've been listening to a classic conversation between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Sandra Felton here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about Sandra Felton or her ministry, Messies Anonymous, visit our website at drjamesdobson.org or give us a call, 877-732-6825. And if you enjoyed today's program, share it on your Facebook page so that others can be encouraged by today's broadcast. The best way to do that is by visiting us on our Facebook page and sharing the post. To find that, simply search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We'd love to hear what you think and why this broadcast meant something to you. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.